are called the pastoral epistles. In other words, these are written by Paul to Timothy and written to Titus to help these young men who are pastors to be able to be aware of so many things that they need to know in ministering to people and in pastoring a church. And so there are just lots and lots of, I mean, really great practical things here. Tonight, what we're going to do is we're going to look at one word in these epistles. And this one word shows up in these three epistles more than it does in any other place in the Bible. Because it's so important to the ministry. It's so important to your Christian life. It's so important to my Christian life. And that one word is doctrine. The word doctrine. And it shows up, I think, 17 or so times in these three books. We're not going to look at all 17. We'll probably look at 15 and a half or 16 of them. No. But I want you to understand this isn't intended in any way, shape, or form to be dull. It is a study on a word of grave importance to us and to the church today. So we're going to pray, but before we pray, let me give you a little story that will lighten you a little bit, and then we'll pray, and then we'll go right into the study, and we'll move as quickly as you can turn through the pages. So a pastor was sitting at his desk one morning, and he was opening the mail. And he opened up one envelope, and he pulled out the paper, and there was just one word written on the paper. Fool. The next Sunday morning, he went into the pulpit. He said, you know, in all my years in the ministry, I have received letters from time to time that were not signed. But he said, this week I received a letter that was signed, but there was nothing written in the letter. Father, we're sure thankful tonight for the opportunity to be able to search the words of God and study something about this great word doctrine. We ask you, please, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, allow what we're studying tonight to minister to us and to teach us and exhort us, Father, and to really emphasize tonight the importance of this word and what it means to us. We ask you, please, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to answer this prayer for Jesus' sake. Amen. Now, turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. We'll go right into it without belaboring. 2 Timothy 3:16. The Bible says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for, what's the first word in the list of four things? Doctrine. For reproof, correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. So the Scripture is profitable for doctrine. Now, what is doctrine? Well, doctrine very simply is what the Bible says. Doctrine very simply is what the Bible teaches. So if we understand the word, then what doctrine is this. Do you understand that I believe, and I'm sure it's true, that the Holy Spirit is the author of this book? And this King James Bible is called the Authorized Version, not because King James authorized it to be translated and published. It didn't have that name at that time. It got that name because people recognized the authority of God in the book and in the words of God. So doctrine is what it says. All right then, here we are in the United States. We're down here in South Texas and we're studying the Bible. There are people that are in Maine. There are people that are in Washington State. There are people in Alaska. There are people in other countries. And they may not have an English translation because they may not know how to read English. They may have the translation of the Bible in their language. But let me tell you something. Doctrine is of this sort, that no matter where you are in the world, if you are getting doctrine, you are getting what the Bible says, and it's not a matter of interpretation. It's not a matter of, well, when I dig in there, this is the way I see it. How do you see it? That's not doctrine. That's conjecture, or that's interpretation, or something like that. That's not what doctrine is. Doctrine is, this is what God said, and He said it this way, and that's exactly what He means. That's what doctrine is. And so it's absolute. It's the same anywhere in the world, because forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. And God said it a certain way because he meant it a certain way. You know, if you have an argument with your spouse, you may say, well, oh, I thought you meant to say, and so I reacted this way. That's not how it is with God. Now, are there a lot of people that come up with a lot of different ideas? Of course, but that's their idea. That's not doctrine. All right, so the scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. So where are you going to find doctrine? In the scripture. You say, well, I thought I might go to such and such a seminary, and there I will learn doctrine. Well, if they're teaching out of the Bible and they're teaching it clearly, you will. Otherwise, you're going to learn what a man has to say about the Bible. You got to be careful about those things. The doctrine is what's in the Bible. Okay, so, you know, when you read the Bible, like I read the Bible, you want to get some spiritual food. You want to get some spiritual application and direction for your life. That's all real good. But that's not necessarily doctrine. And so when you study the Bible, that he says in verse 17 that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. If you want to be truly furnished, you have to have doctrine. Whether it's dull and boring or whether it's exciting, you have to know what the Bible says and you have to live by it. Now, how are you going to get it? Well, turn to 1 Timothy chapter 5, 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 17. You're going to get doctrine kind of a hard way. 1 Timothy 5:17, the Bible says, and you're going to see again the word doctrine, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. All right, so you know what you're going to have to do in order to get doctrine? Two things, if I understand this verse correctly. Number one, you better be a member of a good church. And you better hope that the man who is preaching or the men who preach are laboring in the word and doctrine and giving you what the Bible says and not what they read off the internet or what they, you know, thought they wanted to say in order to get along with you. You know, there are a lot of people, I think there are more people in the United States of America standing behind pulpits today that are preaching untruths than there are preaching truths. And that's because they're not laboring in the word and doctrine. Now, that's one thing. So a good teacher is going to help you. A good preacher is going to help you. But furthermore, if it takes labor to get to the doctrine, then you know what you're going to have to do? You're going to have to labor in the word. You have to labor in this book in order to get doctrine. You know, it surprised me many years ago when I first started doing personal work in the ministry. And we'd run across Jehovah's Witnesses. And on several occasions, the Jehovah's Witnesses we were dealing with were not born into that religion. They were converted to it, or they were proselytized into that religion. Now, most of them that were proselytized into that religion came out of Catholicism. And there's two reasons for that. Because we have a lot of Catholicism, a lot of people that were raised in the Catholic Church here. And basically, they're just switching one religion for another. So that makes sense. But I was surprised to find that there were several Southern Baptists that had become Jehovah's Witnesses. And that really floored me. I was like, how in the world did that happen? But you know how it happened? Their pastors quit preaching doctrine. Their Sunday school teachers quit teaching doctrine. And they quit studying the Bible. You see, doctrine is a safeguard for you to be able to stay in close contact with the Lord and keep living according to His truth so you don't get pulled out by these things. And that takes some labor. I did notice when I did attend Southern Baptist Church for a period of time, they had an international quarterly, and so everybody around the country was all studying the same stuff. And it was something that was hashed out by their press and their people to get this, and then you just go in. And so when we were between Beeville and Corpus Christi, on one particular day, I was asked to preach at a Southern Baptist church here in town and asked to come to the men's Bible study or the men's Sunday school class ahead of time and then go to the service. And so we were in there, and there were a dozen men in there, and they had their very few of them had Bibles. They all had quarterlies, and they were like, well, what do you think about that? Well, I don't know. What do you think about that? And, you know, who's cooking pancakes Saturday? And I thought to myself, this is going to be shot through, because nobody's getting grounded in the book, in doctrine. So it takes labor. And then notice in 1 Timothy chapter 4, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13, it takes attendance. He says here in 1 Timothy 4:13, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Now, that's in the middle of a context that's really great, but you get the point here because it's a full sentence. It's a full command by Paul. Give attendance to doctrine. Now, how are you going to do that? What does that mean to give attendance to doctrine? Well, it means to apply yourself to it. In other words, once you've been taught it or once you've studied it, then what you want to do is you want to apply it. Are churches drifting away from God? Have they been incorporating more and more and more of man's philosophy on how to build a congregation and less and less and less of God's doctrine? You know what's happened? They haven't saved themselves from the apostasy. They are full bolt into what's going on. And furthermore, they are leading thousands of people with them. Tonight here we have parents. A lot of you still have your children living at home. Do you think it would help you to heed the doctrine so you can save yourself and them that hear thee? Do you understand who I'm talking about? You say, well, I don't have a Sunday school class and I don't have a church. Yeah, but you got some kids who need doctrine. Doctrine. That dull old doctrine. Why? Because they're going to be exposed to things and their minds are young and their hearts are tender, and it takes a whole lot less to pull them off than it would take to pull you off. You better take heed to it. That is that you pay attention to it. You listen to it. Not only do you apply it in your life, but you're listening to it. Your life is guided by this. And you know what happens to you when you are? Well, it's the same thing that happened to Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 4 is where you are. Look at verse 6. In verse 6, Paul has just spent the first 5 verses telling him about doctrines of devils. We're going to talk about that in just a minute. And how strange they are and how contrary to God they are. But then he says this in verse 6. If thou put the brethren in remembrance. Timothy turned out to be the first bishop of Ephesus. So he was a pastor. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, watch it. Thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ. So that's what we're doing here tonight. Watch it, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine whereunto thou hast attained. So the Bible says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. In another place he said, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Do you know what that's for? That's to nourish you. That's to strengthen. That's to build you up and to edify you in the things of God. So he says here, if you do this, if you put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine whereunto thou hast attained. So that's a good, strong, nourished Christian who will give himself, labor in, listen to, apply, and heed doctrine. You see, we get the idea sometimes that what we need to do is take the Bible and make it like a self-help book and then ask people to come to church, because you hear a lot of this on the radio, and say, now I'm going to tell you today how you can live a better life and have a happy marriage. You know, you need, when you come home, you just need to take your hat off and put your coat over there, and then you need to tell your wife how much you missed her all day and how much you love her. You need to give her some flowers, and if she's ever cross, you just be real calm. Now, is there a place for that? Yes, there is. It's called a marriage seminar. And it's good stuff. You get along a lot better if you do all that stuff. But I'm going to tell you what, sometimes you need to come in, buddy, you need to put your foot down and you don't need to give ground to nobody in the house. And you need to let your wife know she is submission to you, bud. And that sweet voice goes away and the flowers are dried up and dead and you're the man of the house. Amen. Amen. There you go. Help all y'all out here tonight. All right, so we can do that every week with the Bible, but you know what we're going to be missing? We're going to be missing doctrine. If we're going to be missing doctrine, you're not going to be strong. You won't be nourished up in the Word and in doctrine. Okay, so it's found in the Bible, and you get it like you are tonight, and you get it when you dig it out and apply it and heed it and get nourished by it. Now listen. According to what Paul said to Timothy, you need to be careful, because not all doctrine is good doctrine. There's a lot of bad doctrine out there. You're in 1 Timothy chapter 4. I'll show you some right here. In verse 1, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Oh, now the devil wouldn't come in there and try to give you any bad doctrine. Come on, man. Yes, he would. You know, I think that devil probably knows this Bible better than about any man down here knows it. He doesn't apply it properly. But boy, you talk about somebody that can take the truth right here and twist that thing and mess you up. Whew, that's the devil. Doctrines of devils. And what does he say in verse 2? Speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. Any of y'all ever grow up in a church where the pastors were celibate and Fish Friday was... That's this. And you know what that is? That's a doctrine of devil, and there are millions of people that follow it. Every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. It is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. Now, there was a fellow that grew up in Brooklyn, New York. And he lived in a neighborhood. Everybody on his street, everybody in his neighborhood was Catholic, except for him. And on Friday, that was his grilling day. And he always put ribeyes on. Ribeyes or a beef tender or whatever. It's driving these Catholics insane. I mean, we went over to the Bernhards last night to practice our special, and somebody in that neighborhood was grilling meat. And I mean to tell you, it was good. Bobby came in there. I knew that it was going to be a short practice because he'd smell that stuff. He said, boys, let's get this over with. I got to go eat. It was so anyway, so he's in there grilling. These Catholics are just furious, and they have a big deal about what we're going to do with this guy. And they finally decide, tell you what we're going to do. We're going to take him to confirmation. We're going to make him a Catholic and make this stop. So they drug him down to church, and they went him through all the confirmation classes and all that kind of stuff, and taught him how, you know, he had to go to Mass, and finally got confirmed and all that stuff. And they're so happy. They said, now he's a Catholic. Praise God. We don't have to put up with this on Fridays anymore. The next Friday's out there grilling steaks again. And they all come up and said, don't you know it's Fish Friday? He said, yeah, man. He said, but I paid careful attention while we were going to church. And he said, I saw that man up there during the Mass. He'd take a piece of bread and do a little of this and a little of that. And he said, boom, now you're meat. He said, I'm over here this day and I put these steaks on here and I did a little of this and a little of that. And I said, now you're a fish. Now that's how you get into this mess here with these doctrines of devils. Listen, I've got a book in my office that takes every Catholic doctrine, and I'm not picking on Catholics tonight, it's just that's what we're familiar with. We live down here in South Texas, and goes to the Bible and pulls verses out to support everything in the church that you and I know is wrong. And how did they do that? With the Bible, but somebody got bad doctrine in there and twisted that stuff, and now it's a doctrine of devil. You've got to be careful with that. There are people in churches today that are believing lies from the things they've been taught, and the people that are showing them are taking something that they believe is the Holy Bible to do it. We had a fellow in here earlier in the morning. Guy used to be a Jehovah's Witness, and it took him years to unwind all the damage that was done. And you know, he said, I figured it out. And he said, man, they messed that up. We had a guy, remember Yvonne and Joe Bonice that used to live over here, Rodriguez, Seventh-day Adventist. Man, he knew all kinds of Bible, but he wasn't saved. We had a Bible conference, and it was invite friends that are lost. And Yvonne came, and I remember who was preaching that night. Boy, he came down the aisle. Lynn dealt with him, I believe. And Yvonne got saved, Ivan, you would say. Yvonne got saved. And I had already been over to his house a few times studying Bible. We got back over there and we opened up the Bible. I said, now look at this right here. And he goes, whoa, wait a minute. Now that he's saved, he goes, if that's true, then that goes with this and this goes with that and that goes with this. And that's what it's all about. I said, now you're getting it, pal. We look at another passage of scripture. He goes, wait a minute. Well, Jesus said over here and Paul said over here, and you put that together with this, then that means this. I said, boy, it's clearing up for you now. Clearing up for you now. You know what happened? He'd been taught lies by the Seventh-day Adventists, and they were unwinding now that he had the Holy Spirit and the doctrine of the Bible to straighten the thing out. It's wonderful, but you got to have good doctrine. Look in 1 Timothy chapter 1. I mean, Paul writes the first letter to Timothy. He's coming crack out of the box. He gives his greeting. He gives says who he's writing to in verse 2. He says, unto Timothy, my own son in the faith. Then verse 3, he says, I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach what? No other doctrine. No other doctrine. You got to be careful because there are a lot of other doctrines. And some of those are doctrines of devils. So you got to beware. You got to really, really know your book. All right, so doctrine is found in the Bible. And if you get under good preaching and teaching, that'll help you. If you dig in there and let the Holy Spirit teach you and apply it and live by it, you're going to be nourished up. You'll be able to point out when somebody's lying to you out of the Bible. And then watch this. When you learn it, watch what starts happening. Titus chapter 2, verse 1. When you start learning it, watch what happens. It changes the way you talk. Titus chapter 2, verse 1, speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. Sound doctrine. What does that sound like when you say sound doctrine? Sound doctrine. Solid. Sound. Reliable. Uncorrupt. Strong meat, good meat, good foundation. Speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. There's a colon there, and then he starts running down the things that become sound doctrine. Look how he says here. This is how the aged men are supposed to be. Verse 3, this is how the aged women are supposed to be. Here's verse 4, here's how the young women are supposed to be. Verses 4 and 5. Verse 6, here's how the young men are supposed to be. See that thing? And then he says in verse 7, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned. That he that is of the contrary part, and you know how that's happening? Some people are introducing some new doctrine and they're getting up a following. They're doing it on the internet, not through the pulpits, and a lot of people are following that stuff. And people come in with their heads spinning, and they don't know where to stand. You know what the problem is? Listen, if you start out with the right thing, you can always identify the lie. But if you don't know how to identify the right thing, you're never going to know how to identify the lie. As I've said before, there are five views on the rapture: pre-tribulation, mid-tribulation, pre-wrath, after the tribulation, and no rapture at all. Only one of those is right and four of those is wrong. And I want to ask you a question. Do you believe the Holy Spirit would let you know which one of those is right and which four of those are wrong? Or do you think you have to wait till it happens to find out? I think by sound doctrine you can know. And once you establish that by sound doctrine and some guy gets on the internet and says, look at all these verses that I found. You just look at that and smile and say, help yourself, pal. Clink. Not going to your website anymore. And you just keep right on going. All right. You speak that which becomes sound doctrine, and you have uncorruptness, gravity, and sincerity in it. Now, what else are you supposed to do with it? Turn back to 2 Timothy chapter 4. This is a commission to preachers primarily, but I'll tell you what. We all find ourselves in situations where we're preaching. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, look what he said. Look what Paul says to Timothy. Preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Okay, right now for me, this is out of season. I told Randy right around Fisher's Men, I said, you know, I'm tempted to tell you to be ready, but then I don't want to do that to you. I just want to suck it up and make it happen. So I don't feel good right now, but that doesn't make any difference. This is our time for preaching the Word of God. This is out of season, but my commission is preach the Word. Be instant in season, out of season. Watch it. Reprove. That's not nice. Rebuke. That's not nice. Exhort. That's too loud. With all longsuffering and what? Doctrine. So a man gets up to reprove or rebuke or to exhort you, it's not with his opinion, it's with what the Bible says. And if he can give you what the Bible says, then that's what he ought to preach. And so the very substance of our preaching is doctrinal preaching. Doctrinal preaching, in other words, it lines up, it is right with the book. Turn to Titus chapter 1, look at verse 9. There are all kinds of things you can do, but doctrine is what we preach. Doctrine is how we live. We speak, you know, sound doctrine. In Titus chapter 1, verse 9, we're looking at what Paul is giving to Titus as the qualifications for the bishop in verse 7. A bishop must be blameless as the steward of God and so forth. And then he says in verse 9, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught. Now, isn't that interesting? Holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught. Tonight, we're teaching. And, you know, you are being taught something by which you can live that should strengthen and edify you as a Christian. And some of you that are being taught will, Lord willing, be used by God further in the ministry, even some to the point of being a pastor. That's not our choice. That's not even our desire so much that we would want God to make it happen. We're simply doing what God has given us to do so that if He calls you, you're ready as much as we can give you to get you ready. No pressure. This is between you and God. All right. So holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, so that's what you're getting tonight. Watch it, that he may be able by sound doctrine, that's that good, strong doctrine, both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. Well, what's a gainsayer? Do you know what a gainsayer is? A gainsayer is an opponent. A gainsayer is somebody who contradicts the Bible. The gainsayer is somebody who denies the truth of the Word of God. In other words, this isn't only good to help us grow up, but this is real good when you get out there and you're dealing with somebody that doesn't believe this, and he puts you to a challenge. Now, let me just put a parenthesis here. You'll be wasting your time if you think you're going to sit there and argue with him all day long. Pretty soon you're going to find out whether he's paying attention or not. But if a gainsayer is a contradictor of this Bible or an opponent of this Bible or a denier of the truth, and you show him some truth and he begins, look what it says, to be convinced, to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. If you see the guy is coming around, you know enough sound doctrine to help him come out of the mess that he was in. But if he's not the kind of person that you can exhort, if he's not the kind of person that you can convince, then you know what you're supposed to do? This is just a little parenthetical. Turn to Titus chapter 3 and look at verse 10. Verse 9 for one, Titus chapter 3 verse 9, avoid foolish questions. If the guy's a fool and you've tried two or three times and you figure out the guy's not with you, just turn around and walk off. Go from the presence of a man when thou findest not in him the lips of righteousness. All right, is that what it is? The lips of knowledge. All right, verse 10. A man that is an heretic, after the first and second admonition, reject. So you try to convince him one time and he doesn't go. The second time he doesn't go, say, see you later, pal. I got better things to do. Sit here and waste my time with you. All right, and so you want to exhort and convince somebody that begins to come around. Now realize, sometimes we've had friends that are a little bit more difficult to do, but you know, if a guy's just going to try to batter with you to see who can sharpen his sword the best and who can make the other guy look the most foolish, that can be miserable. But if the guy's like, you know what, I never thought about that before, I need to think about that, you're helping him. All right, so a bishop must by sound doctrine exhort and convince gainsayers. Imagine all that. You learn it. You live by it, you stay away from the false doctrine, and suddenly your speech is affected by what you say, your doctrine shows uncorruptness, gravity, and sincerity. Do you understand? Do you understand it's not only what comes out of your mouth? Your very life changes. What is my conversation? My conversation in the Bible is not just what I'm saying. My conversation in the Bible is my deportment. It's how I live. You've heard of body language before? All right, so if your doctrine is good and it's getting into your life and it's affecting you, your life is going to start showing uncorruptness, gravity, and sincerity. Your life is going to get better and become more godly. It has an effect on you, how you live and what you say, and makes you profitable so you can preach to others. You got something to say to them. And you can even take some people who contradict the Bible and bring them around. I remember years ago, a fella came to my house, and it was like 9 o'clock at night, and he came to me and he says, I hear that the King James Bible is the Word of God, and I don't know that I believe that, but I thought I would look you up and see if you couldn't show me some Bible verses in here to help me understand this. And you know, I'm glad I was much younger back in those days. Till 4 o'clock in the morning, this guy was going to leave the next day. We were up going through it, but you know what that guy was doing? He was getting an 8 hour, 7 hour Bible study to help him understand this problem with modern translations. And you know what? When he left at 4 o'clock, went to bed at 4 o'clock in the morning, left the next day, he left the Bible college he was in, went into a good Bible college, and graduated with sound doctrine. Now that was a good thing. That was a good thing. Years ago, when this radio broadcast started, whatever it was, 17 or 18 years ago, Brian Boatman was 3 hours away from completing his degree through Texas A&M University in the Hardin-Simmons, I guess is what it's called, Bible courses, and he was going to have a bachelor, and he heard the Bible being preached on the radio, and said, whoa, wait a minute, he said, this is something. And so he looked us up in Beeville, started coming to church there, and he and I started studying the Bible there at the house together. And he then later told me that he had quit this school with 3 hours to go for a degree. And I said, why did you stop with just 3 hours to go? He said, all they taught me to do was correct the Bible and not believe the Bible and tear up the Bible. And I'd had all that I could stand. And I finally found somebody that could teach me that the Bible was true and we could do something with it. And today he's pastoring a church. And that's a wonderful thing. And so that, and you know what all that is? That's just doctrine. Dull old doctrine. Wonderful, wonderful doctrine. I say dull old because some people like this. You're not doing that tonight. You're all doing extremely well. Doctrine's not dull to me. We started this covenant study this morning here to kind of help some of you see how that Bible is laid out. I'm telling you, man, that stuff gets me revved up. It's wonderful. All right. So let me just give you one more thing. You're like, really? Yeah, time flew, didn't it? 2 Timothy 4:3. You need to know something about the age in which you're living. He said in verse 2, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come, folks, it's here, when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts, shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? If they turn away, listen, if they turn away their ears from the truth and they turn to fables, if they will not endure sound doctrine, what are you going to do? Are you going to quit teaching sound doctrine so you can still have a big crowd? That's what the mega churches have done. I don't fault a guy for having a big following. I fault him for getting away from sound doctrine so he can have a big following. That's wrong. If you're living in an age where they won't endure sound doctrine, then you live by sound doctrine and phooey on them. You live by sound doctrine. And if they don't endure sound doctrine and God calls you in the ministry, then you know what you do? You just keep looking and keep looking and keep preaching and keep preaching, keep dealing, sound doctrine until you find somebody that's got an ear for it, teach them and get them to come along. Paul found Timothy and he taught him sound doctrine. And then Timothy went on to pastor, and man, you watch Paul, he can call Timothy. Timothy meets him in all kinds of other places, even probably met him up there in Rome before Paul was killed. He was certainly invited to come. And stayed close with him the whole way and get you some Timothys. You don't have to have many of them to do a great job. And you know something? Just stick with sound doctrine. Sound doctrine. Father, we're sure thankful tonight to be able to uphold a book we know is true. So thankful tonight to be able to be encouraged about the things that you do with us with sound doctrine. I pray, man, we've got young people in here can't even spell the word doctrine right now, Father, and I look forward to them growing up in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ with pure doctrine, Father, that will help them to be able to get through the perilous times in which we live. And I thank you, Father, for these grown folks that will say, you know what, I'm going to come back and listen to some preaching. God bless them. They took time tonight to be here. And I pray you fed them well and encouraged them, Father, to pay careful attention to what they're learning. Live by it. Hold dearly to it. Instill it into their families' lives and live by it, Father. Oh, God, bless them as they do. I know it's a fight. There's so many false doctrines. Help them to stay purely uncorrupted from those things that are going on out there. God, help this church. We intend to stand on sound doctrine. And Father, we know how easy it is for little things to slip in. We don't want to see that in our Sunday school classes. We don't want to see that in our church services. We don't see that in our radio broadcast or any ministry that goes out of this church. I pray, Father, there's sound top to bottom from the nursery all the way into this class here. I pray, Father, through all the Bible studies we do, that everything, Father, just keeps on with that sound doctrine to your pleasing and to the edification of your folks. For we ask you to do all these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.